Governor Scott Walker will soon sign a bill spending $35.4 million of the state budget surplus on new workforce development grants and training programs. To talk about how that money will be spent, thanks to Morna Foy, president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. Morna, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you very much.
We haven't talked since you got the presidency job, which is how long have you had it now?
A little over a year.
What a great learning experience, yeah. I bet.
You've dealt with a lot. It's been a wild ride.
First of all, let's put in context the technical college system. How many people does it serve? 1 in 9 adults?
That's correct. In Wisconsin, 1 in 8, 1 in 9, depends on the year, but we have over 360,000, individuals cross our doorways every year, every day.
And that's part-time and full-time?
Part-time and full-time, folks who are pursuing a academic credential or a career, others who are going for a very specific skill and trying to upgrade their position in their place of work or trying to pursue a new job.
Well, you people at Rutland Tech Colleges, you're pretty happy we have a budget surplus, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Because
I think everyone in Wisconsin is
well,
happy
we all are,
because
most of the attention has gone to the income tax, the tax cuts, more than $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
But so the issue of the $35.4 million in workforce training grants and programs, that's kind of that's secondary good news to the tax cut, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think that the really great thing about this is that there's been broad consensus within the from the governor and within the legislature that property tax and tax relief in general is a priority for these funds. So there's been some pretty swift action and conversation about that, and I think that's good for all of us. The $35.4 million is, as you said, it's an addition to those general broad brush tax relief programs. These dollars came from surplus from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and their activities, and I think it's a very good sign that Wisconsin is unified in its belief that investment in its workforce and investment in its employers and helping them be successful by giving them the skilled workers that they need to be successful is a top priority for the state.
And the 35.4 comes in addition to the $15 million that was part of the budget passed last summer, right?
Correct. The last biennial budget, the governor and legislature created a new program in the Department of Workforce Development called Fast Forward Grants. That's where the $15 million was set aside, and that was targeted funds to address immediate, pressing workforce needs in Wisconsin's industries, and a broad brush of industries. That first round of those grants has gone out now. They've made those awards. The second round has already been posted. So colleges and other training providers and other community groups and employers themselves are in the process now of applying for those next round of fast forward grants. This $35.4 million is often referred to as Fast Forward 2, but it's actually a separate program. It's one-time money.
Yeah.
I think the hope is, and certainly my hope is, I know Secretary Newsom from the Department of Workforce Development's hope is that by acting quickly with these funds and by generating positive results in all of the areas in which they can be used, so getting rid of waiting lists and providing skill opportunities in demand in the tech colleges, providing dual enrollment or rewarding high schools and technical colleges for giving high school students credentials before they graduate, and helping individuals with disabilities find employment. All of those purposes, if we can take quick action and we can show some good, positive, demonstrable results, so not just what we hope we'll do, but what we have accomplished, that they will incentivize further investment and make these dollars that are one-time right now permanent.
Well, there's a lot of numbers afloat around the Capitol. How was $35.4 million chosen? Who added up that list?
I think it's really what came from WEDEC in terms of what they had left over from various funding appropriations. Why that amount versus any other amount was put out there for this purpose was really the governor saying, let's get closer to a more significant pot of money. Because the fast forward dollars, when they originated, put Wisconsin, it was a great change for Wisconsin. We hadn't had these kind of dollars available for this purpose from the state, but it was not comparable to what other states around us have been investing. And there was a desire, I think, 2 years ago to make the number bigger, but we didn't have the funds. So now when the funds have become available, the governor and the legislature have stayed, you know, kept their eye on the prize in terms of what they wanted to do in terms of a priority, and definitely developing the skill set of Wisconsinites and helping Wisconsin employers find those workers and employ them is stayed high on the priority.
Well, let's break down how the money's going to be used. And I'm reading here from the Fiscal Bureau summary of the bill, so that's my source. Program number one, grants to tech colleges for the reduction of waiting lists for enrollment in programs and courses in high-demand fields. What are our high-demand fields, and have they changed in the last 10 years?
You know, Wisconsin, I think, has been pretty lucky in the sense that we have some very strong core industries, and they are the ones that generate a lot of the high-demand programs. You've heard the governor talk about them many times: healthcare, manufacturing, agriculture, information technology. Those are definitely things that I think you'll see projects in those areas. But the truth is there's also a lot of regional activity that varies around the state. You can look at a place like Milwaukee that's becoming, you know, really developing their water resources and energy industry sectors. You can look at a place like Green Bay, and you know, it's often caused, not just Green Bay, but the whole North Coast maritime or marine
sector.
Fox Valley up.
Marinette,
you know,
Marine, things
Marinette,
like that.
Marinette, Marine, Manitowoc. The shipbuilding industry is really transforming or reinvigorating a lot of those manufacturing, construction industries in the whole east coast of the state. You have places like Fenimore, a small little community, or Southwest Platteville, southwestern part of the state that is really getting into some very interesting new farming techniques and you know, biofood processing that is taking off in that area. I mean, every part of the state has regional economies that are, some of them are old, they've been around for a long time, and now they're getting a little pick-me-up, and others are brand new. So I think it really varies, and I think that the department is they know they've been in the process of using both their labor market information as well as technical colleges, great connections with business and industry, and trying to identify where are the areas of greatest need and highest demand.
DWD then compiles a list of these high demand fields, correct?
Well, they collect a lot of data about labor market information, and they're actually been working with us to sort of identify where the areas might be, where the actual job openings and workforce needs might be greatest. And we're using a lot of different resources to do that.
But it's DWD that comes up with a list of these employers say they have specific needs.
You know, ultimately DWD will be the one to determine what are going to be the focus areas for these funds. I think they'll be doing that in concert with the tech colleges and also with the Council on Workforce Investment, which has a lot of private sector representatives on it. I don't know that they would get down to a specific employer.
Right.
I think they'll be identifying where the openings are.
Career demands.
Yep.
And special demands.
Right. And then that from there, we'll be able to identify projects that might deliver the biggest bang for the buck and which are feasible, which we can get done, because all this has to happen in a very short period of time.
Short period of time, e.g. 2 years, 3 years? It's called, you know, fast forward for a reason.
Well, the dollars that we were given this year, the governor's about to make available, I should say, they are one-time dollars, and they really need to be spent by the end of the 2014-15 fiscal year. So that's a pretty short time. You're not talking about funding long-term, programs that these are supposed to be targeted. They're supposed to be able to be implemented quickly and produce some positive outcomes quickly.
Well, I see a triangle emerging. DWD identifies job openings, specialized job openings. Then do they turn to the tech colleges? And then the third part of the triangle is the specific businesses. So How does the demand flow, and how is that demand met among those three partners?
Well, it really varies. I mean, we have a long-standing relationship, and one of the strongest parts of the technical college system here in Wisconsin. And I wish I could say it was true in two-year colleges across the nation. I think there's a lot of variety, but I know that here in Wisconsin, and we're recognized nationally for this, is that we have very strong employer partners. We have a lot of employers here in Wisconsin that understand that the way that they can ensure that they are going to have a proper pipeline of workers, that they're going to have not only individuals who have the skill set, but who have an interest in their industry. They need to get connected to technical colleges and the K-12 system, and they need to stay engaged with them. And so we have built over a long, many years, and you know, a lot of it comes down to individual relationships and taking the time to talk to people and listen to their concerns and what they need, and that's a two-way street, because employers do that with us too. How can we help? We better have some good constructive answers to that question. But because of that, we are able to provide a lot of opportunities for employers to get skills training through the technical colleges. The new grants will be another vehicle, but there are a lot of opportunities that are out there now. I don't want people to lose sight of that, because these are, again, right now they're one-time dollars. We're hoping to build on them, and we want to use the cumulative results to demonstrate that we can make good use of these dollars. So employers can get assistance from a technical college through a contract training opportunity, where it's negotiated specifically, we need some specific skill set for a specific population.
Right. Contract with the tech college to provide that.
That's absolutely correct. They can.
But the tech college has got to develop that. You have to be pretty fast on your feet, don't you?
Yes, we do.
They have a need now. They want trained workers now.
Right. And that's where these dollars right now can be really helpful, because one of the issues that we have is that employers, as they get more aware of opportunities, and they their workplaces are changing so rapidly right now, that they come to us, that I would say the actual demand for our services exceeds our ability to meet them. And with these new dollars, there's an opportunity now to maybe respond to some of those requests for help that we've been getting from employers and we haven't been able to address. You know, sometimes it comes down to being able to buy a particular piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Other times it's we need to add another faculty member so that we can add more sections, we can teach more hours of a particular course.
A specific business, well, actually, this is a function of the economic, the economy coming back, isn't it? Isn't this a function of the recovery?
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin businesses are doing better,
yep.
And therefore they want to grow. Grow means in this very changing workforce demands, they have new specialized skills. They turn to you guys.
Yeah.
You guys have to be able to turn around a program within months?
It depends on what it is. It could be that somebody wants something tomorrow. And if we have the capacity to respond to them, we can do that. I mean, that kind of responsiveness, contract training is not something that goes through a long bureaucratic approval process. Colleges have the capacity to work those out with their employers.
They can
locally.
All 16 schools can work it out
they
with local
do,
employers.
They do it themselves, yeah.
They don't have to bring it to the umbrella board, statewide board.
I'm not involved in that at all, actually, other than to encourage employers to seek that opportunity out. But again, it's a area where sometimes we can't meet that need because of our own capacity limitations. And the other area that makes it difficult, which is why we have another program, in addition to contract training, we have workforce advancement training grants within the tech college system. I'm sure you've heard of them. They are grants that are made to colleges so that they can work with an employer and provide this kind of training.
Mm-hmm.
And the employer has, you know, a match contribution or sometimes not, because not all employers are in a position to do this kind of training in-house. You know, they're smaller. Wisconsin's very well known for the small and medium-sized companies. That's where a lot of the job growth is happening right now. And we need to do what we can to help them expand.
And tech colleges started in Wisconsin.
Yes.
In Parkside?
Actually, in Racine.
In Racine, yep. Thank you. The second program, again from the Fiscal Bureau summary,
collaborative projects with school districts, tech colleges, and businesses to provide, this is what intriguing, high school pupils with industry-recognized certifications in high-demand fields.
Right.
What's that mean?
Well, for the layperson, what that means is that before I graduate from high school, I'm going to have a credential that some employer recognizes as having value. And so I'm going to have now my high school diploma, and I'm going to have a career credential as well. You've heard Superintendent Evers talk about this many times. We want students to be college and career ready. So we need to do what we can to make sure that a high school diploma has meaning and value to higher institutions, higher education, whether that's a tech college or a university or a private mm-hmm. institution. And at the same time, we need to give them every opportunity to pursue a career if they so choose, or maybe to do both things simultaneously, which is what most tech colleges students do.
This intrigues me, but can you give us a couple examples of certifications that would be covered by this? Does anything come to mind?
Certified nursing assistant is a big one. Mm-hmm. And this is where healthcare is an industry that has gone through the credentialing process or breaking down their job activities into different, recognized credentials. So when you have a CNA, it means something to a healthcare provider or a nursing home. And other industries have varying levels of that same kind of laddered positioning. But we are working with them to do this because we like to build in more credentials into our own curriculum at the technical college. So what we're working with the department and DPI now is, again, what are the high demand areas? Yeah. What are credentials that actually can be taught at the high school setting or to a high school student and that is going to have value for them and value for an employer? Because, again, it does us no good to give students a bunch of certificates if they once they take that into the workplace, employers don't know what they mean.
Who are the target high school students here? Are they the ones that they don't feel and their parents don't feel and maybe their counselors don't feel should go off to a four-year institution?
I would say it's the target audience there is every high school student in
Wisconsin.
Every
high school student to begin to think about a career.
I think other states have put that out there as a model that high school students should be career and college ready, and that means they need to have the skill set that allows them to do that. And make those choices. And we all know how tough it is sometimes to distinguish yourself in an application process to an employer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a hard worker. I got a high school diploma. I really am interested in metal fabrication or healthcare. And now I'm going up against a person that says, I don't just have an interest. I can demonstrate to you through this credential that I know what I'm talking about and I know how to do it. That person is going to have an advantage every time. I think it's also really clear, and I know the governor agrees with this, and you've heard him talk about it many times, but career and technical education programs, when students participate in them, when they have an opportunity to participate, even if it's just one or two classes, they do better in all their academic subjects. And they come out of high school with usually a better grade point average, a better sense of their own ability to accomplish things, not just in the workplace, but in academia as well. And so I think it is good for all of us. You know, I'm of the generation that we were required to take things like shop and home ec in high school, even though most of us, frankly, had not a clue what we were going to do. And I think that we just inadvertently benefited from the fact that we were exposed to a lot of different things and a lot of different styles of teaching and ways of teaching.
Is it hard?
That's what our high school students deserve that today.
Is it hard to get post-recession high school students to think about some of these careers and where they might get a career, to get them interested in thinking about?
Yes.
It must be hard because they have all these other
issues. It can be hard, but
contending for their attention.
Well, that's true. It's always hard to get high school students to pay attention to you, especially if you're over the age of 22. But I think that the one thing that is really exciting for me right now, and I spend a lot of time with our students and with high school students, is the way that the world's knowledge is rapidly advancing so quickly, mm-hmm. and there isn't anything, there is no industry that is not touched by the advances in technology. And so when you see a kid who's, you know, stuck to their iPod or their smartphone, you know, I see someone who has the potential to work in any number of careers, because that knowledge and that understanding of how technology works, how the internet functions, how robotics work, and the way that we you know, transmit our human intelligence and knowledge into to automation that can help us be more efficient, help us be faster. Just got done talking to an employer today saying that, you know, this is what is making us competitive. It's allowing us to grow more jobs, not lose jobs, is that we're getting better at delivering service, having product on time. That drives better business and more business to us, and then we have to hire more people to provide the product.
Some of the traditional advice from parents has been, we have an expectation that you're going to toddle off to a four-year. Mm-hmm. Is that no longer the case? Are parents increasingly more interested in saying, you should examine options at a tech college because there might be jobs there and it's less expensive?
I certainly have noticed a change in even my own friends whose kids are now getting to the high school age. But yes, I think parents are changing their mind. It's not just that tech college is less expensive. It's that there are things going on in technical colleges that excite their kids and that inspire them to want to learn more. We don't ever want people to think about technology as this is the end mm-hmm. for you. The whole point of it is to build individuals, whether they do their learning in the workplace or they do their learning by going back to a four-year or another tech college or beyond, that, you know, we're building citizens for the future of Wisconsin. And those individuals, if they're going to be contributors and have a good career, a good life, they're going to have to be lifelong learners, and they're going to have the confidence that they can do that at any time. I think employers know that now because their processes change so rapidly. They're in a continuous improvement mode. Our colleges are transforming the way we deliver education so that it makes it more possible for individuals to move in and out of the workplace into school, not repeat. And I think parents recognize, you know, there's been too many, there's too much news, there's too much conversation about how four-year graduates can't find employment.
Yes.
Or if they do, it doesn't pay as well as they had
and
hoped.
And the debt they emerged from those four
the
years
debt
with?
Is really tough. I mean, the governor is absolutely correct when he talks about the average salary for manufacturing workers in this state is way above the average salary levels. They are more likely to have benefits associated with them. And, you know, for people with skills, there are boundless opportunities. And those skills can be in a lot of different
fields. So there's no more stigma for going to a tech college.
I wouldn't say there's no more, but we've certainly made a lot of progress on it, yeah.
And then the third component, again from the LFB summary, grants to public and private organizations or services provided by Department of Workforce to enhance employment opportunities for persons with disabilities. Now, is that tech colleges or is that DWD's Division of Voc Rehab?
It's I think largely Division of Voc Rehab. We certainly have a lot of programs in the technical colleges that serve individuals with disabilities, and we believe that that's an important part of our workforce population. We can't diminish that. There's, again, you know, when we're technical colleges and technology has really changed the way that individuals can work and live and contribute, and that's no more truer. It's very, very true for individuals with disabilities.
Tech colleges don't consider themselves in competition with the UW system, do they? But is that a change from 10 or 15 years ago?
I don't think so, actually. I mean, I think that kind of conversation of competition got tossed around by certain parties that I think were looking for ways to reduce spending or save dollars. Mm-hmm. When money is tight, you know, the idea of consolidation or cutting is, how can we duplicate less?
Yes.
And so I think that's where that came from. But truth, we serve a lot of different populations, first of all. But the reality for higher education in the world today is that we don't have a sole population that's ours.
Yes.
18 to 22-year-olds belong to the University of Wisconsin system. 30-year-olds belong to the tech college. That's not the way people go to school anymore.
And but so you do have older students, don't you?
We do. Our average age of our student is about 31 years old.
31 years old. Excuse me.
They're young to me, but
they're
old. The non-traditional is our traditional. I think the issue is that we deliver a different kind of educational system in a different setting, and we focus on careers that require that kind of educational preparation. The university focuses on a different set of jobs, a different mm-hmm. set of preparation. Truthfully, there are not going to be too many individuals, I think, going forward that don't spend some time at both those institutions in some way, or online or some other way. But the idea that anybody can go to college or go to a technical college or go to a university or go to through an apprenticeship program even, and that once they're done, then they're done, and they don't have to ever think about that again, that's not anybody's future.
And you have students who, when I interviewed the president of the Milwaukee Area Technical College,
mm-hmm. Michael Burke,
they go and then they stop. They have to stop mm-hmm. for family reasons or other reasons, and they resume. So
they got a job that's more, wants them to pick up more hours. Yep, and then they come back. So we have to set up ourselves to be accommodate that new kind of learner and that new kind of student, and frankly, so does the university.
How will the state of Wisconsin know that the $35.4 million was successfully spent? What are the benchmarks to measure?
Well, again, that's something that the department and we are working on right now. What is a reasonable outcome? What can be expected? I think there's some pretty obvious ones. If a project is intended to reduce a wait list for students, then the fact that those students are now enrolled in a program mm-hmm. and are continuing in that program, that would be a measure of success or an outcome. I think there are other outcomes. For most of our programming, we always look at job placement. That is a very important metric for us. Are our programs the right programs? Are our graduates well prepared? Did they get the right training when they were with us and the right education? And we look at placement, which is around 90% in our system for our graduates, and that's year in and year out. So when times are bad, Tech College graduates still get placed. Times are good, they also get placed, and hopefully we're producing more of them.
And when times are bad, there's a lot more demands placed on the Tech College system, isn't there?
That's true. Yeah, everybody's trying to upgrade. Employers are looking for the very best and brightest, and individuals are looking to upgrade their skills to make themselves more competitive.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Just a couple more questions. How has the Tech College system rebounded from the state budget of 2011-2013 when state aid had to be cut? Mm-hmm. Your number of FTEs fell then. I don't have to tell you anything, but mm-hmm. Is the Tech College system back 3 years later after the what I'll call the state budget of pain?
Well,
my term, not yours.
We made a lot of changes.
Did you lose some of your most experienced instructors?
Yep, we did. Some folks retired, some folks left. We had to reprioritize programming, and so our instructors are associated with, programs. A person who's teaching welding is not going to become a nursing instructor. We had a realign and narrow in, but frankly, we have stayed focused on our mission, which is to create opportunities for individuals and to help Wisconsin's employers be successful and grow their business. So those two things are things that we continue to do last biennium. We're doing it now. We've made changes. We have now moved to a performance outcome funding model for a portion of our state dollars. We are very hopeful that that process is going to result in some new investment, because legislators and the governor are going to have the confidence, and the public will have the confidence that those investments and our dollars well spent.
And there's a surplus, and it's easier to get money when there's a surplus. I guess my last question is, you and I have heard the war stories about the long wait lists. Yeah. Are there still students who want to be CNAs or nursing that are waiting a year and a half or 2 years now? Is it better?
It's better. I will say that, you know, especially in nursing, a big part of the nursing waitlist issue has to do with having clinical opportunities. Healthcare programs in general, you know, it doesn't do anyone, especially the student, any good to take courses and then have to wait a year or two to get into a clinical opportunity. And
yes,
you must have that clinical opportunity before you can be licensed, before you can be graduated. And those are just, there's just a finite number of those. Offering a clinical for the employer is not without cost and resource commitment. So we have to work on that. Frankly, we have been trying some new techniques using human simulating machines, essentially, to provide some of the clinical opportunity, trying to do things with scheduling. But I think that nursing, as long, you know, student wait lists partly have to do with our capacity to serve that student. But the number one thing that they indicate is a strong interest of students who want to get into that program and who want to get into that career. And nursing is a very, very popular choice for many Wisconsin young
people. Does it still drive you crazy to hear employers say, we can't hire enough welders? I think I asked you that a year ago when you got the job.
Well, some of them I think are still struggling. I mean, that part hasn't changed, that we continue to have an issue of having the right mix of individuals with those skills in the right place in the state. So we're going to keep working on that. I think the new funding and the new grant dollars will really help us. I'm looking forward to
the
upcoming year.
You're excited to spend that $35.4 million, aren't you?
I'm excited to get started on it, you bet.
Excellent. Morna Foy, president of the Wisconsin Technical College System, thanks very much for
coming in
to talk about the new money and the options and the programs.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.